Last Sunday, Weekend Edition's legal analyst Mimi Wesson spoke with Sheila Cast about some of the issues before the Supreme Court this term. One concerned a case in Washington State which could result in the elimination of federal sentencing guidelines. Eric Voss, an assistant federal defender in Pennsylvania, heard the interview. He wrote a letter to Mimi to say that she sounded distressed over the disappearance of those guidelines. We asked him to read more of his letter, which outlines his reasons why that might be a good thing.
The federal sentencing guidelines were well meant. It was anticipated that by placing federal sentencing policy in the hands of nonpartisan experts, they would produce a just set of guidelines, and federal judges would be set upon a path which no longer allowed for a vastly different sentence depending on regional differences, or worse, based upon illegitimate factors such as race or gender. And thus, a judge in the Deep South would be just as fair as a judge in San Francisco. But rather than help, the federal sentencing guidelines, after 20 years of modifications, have failed to deliver on a workable and fair sentencing paradigm. Rather, the guidelines, together with an increasing number of mandatory sentences, have created a system with an unhealthy emphasis on uniformity rather than individual justice. Today, based on these guidelines, mandatory sentences can easily exceed 15 years for a crime as minor as selling $20 of marijuana. And with an average 1,200 people being sentenced in federal courts every week, the result of this horrifically flawed system has created an immense and historical injustice. But most shockingly, these guidelines have created a structure where the power to make sentencing decisions has effectively been transferred from the judge to the prosecutor. To manipulate the guidelines, a prosecutor has the unfettered option to charge the exact same crime a number of ways, some of which force the judge to sentence the defendant to decades more in prison. This transfer of sentencing power from judge to prosecutor is absurd, because unlike judges, prosecutors are not trained in the exercise of discretion, and the trial judge is the one actor in the system most experienced with exercising discretion in a transparent, open, and reasoned way. Simply put, prosecutors are predisposed in a manner which may never be confused with objectivity, and they should certainly never be in a position to impose sentence. In the weeks to come, given the pending cases, the Supreme Court will hopefully eviscerate or altogether end the use of the guidelines. Our desire for a uniform and egalitarian sentencing structure is certainly noble, yet the guidelines have in no way provided us with such an intended and lofty result. Rather, the federal sentencing paradigm of the last 20 years is one where unduly draconian sentences must be handed down, the judiciary is ignored, and most important sentencing decisions are left to unfettered prosecutors.
Eric Voss is an assistant federal defender in Pennsylvania. He was responding to comments by Weekend Edition legal analyst Mimi Wesson on last week's program.